There we go. Good morning. All right. Well, this morning after, well, actually just before we close our worship service this morning, we're going to have our second congregational meeting where we will finalize our choice for the elder nominating committee. So please stick around, and it should take just a few minutes like last week. I am very pleased to announce that I will be installed as your pastor on September 15th here in the sanctuary at 4 o'clock. We have lots of people coming from the presbytery, a few from Florida. Some will be watching from home in Florida on Zoom, just as you all did for my ordination service. And we should be having some people coming from Decatur Presbyterian. So there will be more information as we get a little closer, but for now, please save the date, September 15th, 4 p.m. Next Sunday, on August 25th, we will not be able to park in our parking lot. The Dalton Grand Prix bicycle race will be going through town, and part of their course is right out here in our parking lot. And so if you will next week, please come to church if you so choose, but beware as you cross from the parking lot over at the accountability courts or the post office, and make sure there are no bikes. Look both ways, because I'm not sure which direction they're traveling. You may also find in your pews and out on the table in the commons, there are bookmarks that say love first, love all, that tell the world about our congregation. And we invite you to take one or two or many of those bookmarks. We have more. They arrived this morning. And so if you are short in your pew, we have extras. But take a few, use them in your own books, lend them out to people in the books that you give. I'm not very good at lending out because I want to make sure I get them back, but I will stick them in random books around town. So please take those with you. Do we have any other announcements for the good of all? Then as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship, the peace of Christ be with you all. Peace be with you.
Please stand for the call to worship. You who are the Lord's holy ones, honor him, because those who honor him don't lack a thing. Even strong young lions go without and get hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, children, listen to me. Let me teach you how to honor the Lord. Do you love life? Do you relish the chance to enjoy good things? Then you must keep your tongue from evil and keep your lips from speaking lies. Turn away from evil, do good, seek peace, and go after it. And let us pray. Father in heaven, we praise you alone and ask that you send us Mother Wisdom. May she invite us to sit at her table so that we may drink of her wine and eat of her bread. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that we may be filled and made new. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, yet we are justified by the gift of God's grace through the redemption that is ours in Christ Jesus. Trusting in God's mercy, let us confess our sin, praying first in silence. And together we pray. Merciful God, in your gracious presence, we confess our sin and the sin of this world. Although Christ is among us as our peace, we are a people divided against ourselves as we cling to the values of a broken world. We abuse your good gifts of imagination and freedom, of intellect and reason, and have turned them into bonds of oppression. Lord, have mercy upon us. Heal and forgive us. Set us free to serve you in the world as agents of your reconciling love in Jesus Christ. Amen. Our righteousness is found in Christ alone, a gift of God by faith. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite all of the children here with us to come forward. No backpacks today. How was everyone's first full week of school?
Good.
It was good? Good deal. Well, I have a question for you now that you've spent one whole week in school. How well do you know all the rules that you have to follow?
Good.
Good? Yeah? They're the same rules as last year. There's nothing new?
No.
Oh my goodness. Who can tell me some rule that you have to follow at school?
No running in the halls.
No running in the halls. That's a good one. What's another rule that you have to follow? You have to do all your work. That came from an adult sitting over here. And a substitute teacher. What else do you have to do at school? Can you talk anytime you want to?
No.
No? When can you not talk?
While anyone else is talking.
While anyone else is talking, especially the teacher in the room? Yeah. What about bringing all your materials, being prepared? Yeah. Well, you guys look like you're a little bit familiar with the rules. I'm sure they're going to keep telling you over and over and over again what rules you're supposed to follow. But you know, even if you know all of the rules, does that mean that you're necessarily going to choose to follow them?
Yeah.
Very good student right here. She said, yeah, like, was there another option? Well, I taught middle school, and the answer was often, psh, no. So I'm going to teach you a new word today. It's something that you will more likely learn when you are in middle or high school. You ready? This is a language arts kind of word, an English word. Ooh. And his favorite subjects are math and science, so there you go. You like math and science too? Awesome. So this word is called personification. Can you say that word?
Personification.
Personification. Y'all are so smart. So that's when you take a concept that is abstract and you give it human kind of features so that we can relate to it a little better. For example, we might talk about our government and maybe patriotism. And so instead of just saying our government, we might say that Uncle Sam needs every citizen to vote this year. So who's Uncle Sam? Mm. Don't know. Perfect answer. Yeah, so Uncle Sam is a personification of our government. It's not a real person, but we kind of talk about the government like it's a person. Or we might also look outside, maybe this afternoon, like it's been the last few days, and the weather is gorgeous and sunny, and then all of a sudden there's these massive storms that creep up, and there's lightning and thunder, and we might say that Mother Nature is acting crazy today, right? Who's Mother Nature? Is that a real person?
No.
No.
It's nature.
It's a fairy. It's nature, right? Right. So Mother Nature is our way of talking about weather and the world and the natural things that surround us as a person. It helps us relate a little better. Well, today the Bible is going to use some personification. And we're going to talk about something called wisdom in a way that is like a woman. And so there's another woman that we'll talk about too. Does anyone know what wisdom is?
No.
No? Wisdom is a hard thing to understand.
Can't describe.
That's a perfect answer. Yes, I know what wisdom is, and no, I cannot describe it. So there's another woman besides woman wisdom today, and that's a very foolish, strange woman who is the opposite of wisdom. And so we'll learn a little bit about her. Now, on the cover of today's bulletin is a picture of one Nigerian artist. His name is Olushola David. Yes, I had to look that up. Olushola David is the artist. And he painted this picture of what he thinks wisdom looks like. Looks like a foot. It's supposed to look like a woman. See, there's a face and there's her hair. It is. It's a woman. And so as...
It looks like a foot.
It does a little bit look like a foot. Her hair looks a little bit like toes.
Oh, too many toes.
I'll give you that.
Too many toes.
There's too many toes. I'll give you that. But we're gonna look at this like a woman. And so I want you, if you choose to stay during the service and you're listening to the sermon and your mind starts drifting, I want you to do something for me. You can use the back of the bulletin. You can use a piece of paper from inside. There's pencils in the pews. I want you to either draw or write what you think wisdom looks like. What does this woman wisdom look like? What is she doing as we describe her? What is she offering to us? And you can draw those, you can write down what you hear or what you see in your minds, and then later tonight, talk to your parents about what they heard and what they saw in their minds when they hear about woman wisdom. Does that sound good? All right, let's go back to our places.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 9. Listen for God's word. Wisdom has built her house, She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her animals. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her female servant girls. She calls from the highest places in the town. You that are simple, turn in here. To those without sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. Listen now for the word of God. Be careful, then, how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God, the Father, at all times and for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I asked the children a few minutes ago if they could tell me what wisdom was, and they very wisely said, I know what it is, but I can't put it into words. Wikipedia defines wisdom as the act of using one's depth and breadth of knowledge and experience to do good by oneself and others. Wisdom is the interpreting and understanding of knowledge that leads to greater insight, for example, common sense. Wisdom is a pragmatic kind of praxis or process where one is constantly using metacognition. That clears it right up, doesn't it? Well, Hollywood gives us endless access to characters that seek or define wisdom. In the Dead Poets Society, Robin Williams says, "There's a time for daring and a time for caution, and a wise man understands what is called for." The Wizard of Oz tells the lion, "You, my friend, are a victim of disorganized thinking. You are under the unfortunate impression that just because you run away, you have no courage. You're confusing courage with wisdom." In Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, Spock says, Logic is the beginning of wisdom, Valeris, not the end. I don't think that's what he says when he makes that gesture. Live long and prosper sounds a little more like it. And then in Willy Wonka, The Chocolate Factory, Gene Wilder says, "A little nonsense now and then is relished by the wisest men." There is even an old proverb from who knows where that states, "A wise man once said nothing." I think it's part of human nature to seek wisdom and understanding. Art, music, and theater have often tried to find deeper meaning out of life and love. No one wants to be considered a fool, yet often the wisest among us do indeed consider themselves foolish. It's like the old saying, "The more I learn, the more I realize I know nothing." Wisdom is abstract. It is not something we can easily define, despite Wikipedia's best efforts. It's not something we can hold on to or claim to possess. Yet there are times when we can sense its presence. This is why I love the images of woman wisdom in the book of Proverbs. The personified wise woman is something I can visualize. She's someone I can aspire to emulate. There is truth under the surface as she beckons to us to come dine at her table. She was created by God before the earth, and her words are better than fine silver and gold. One of my Hebrew professors at Columbia Theological Seminary, Dr. Bill Brown, gives us a closer look at woman wisdom as described in chapter 8 of Proverbs. The following is his own translation of her words. "When Yahweh inscribed the foundations of the earth, I was beside him growing up. I was his delight day by day, playing before him every moment, playing in his inhabited world, my delighting in the offspring of Adam." Dr. Brown then clarifies that according to the sages, she is fully alive, interdependent, and interactive with God and the world. Wisdom is God's full partner in play, and all creation is hers to enjoy. The world was made for wisdom. As we look at our text in chapter 9, we see that woman wisdom has built her home and set her table. It appears that she has all grown up. She's ready to welcome company to feast with her, but she is not a cold and condescending hostess. Yes, she invites us, who are simple and foolish and naive, to dine on her wine and bread and meat. But all the while, she delights in us. I imagine her gathering us in as a mother might do when she shows her toddler a butterfly for the first time. Her greatest joy is in watching us discover the world and learn to understand our place in it. She extends an invitation to us to participate in this joyful delight. In contrast, the book of Proverbs offers another personification, that of the strange woman, folly. She can be found in chapter 9, verses 13 to 18. She also extends us an invitation to dine at her table. Her house is also set up in the city's heights, and she sits in her doorway, noisily calling to anyone naive enough to enter her home. In fact, her home could easily be across the street from Woman Wisdom's house. She is in competition with her as she offers us stolen water and calls it sweet, and says that the food eaten in secret is pleasing. I imagine she has red lanterns in her windows. And the text warns that all who enter her home are in the depth of the grave. This is an invitation that sounds too good to be true and causes the hairs on the back of our necks to rise. Our task, of course, is to be careful in choosing which one to enter and with whom to dine. As we see images of bread and wine in Woman Wisdom's home, we might think of Jesus' body and blood. That certainly is an appropriate reference, but there's more truth in her cuisine than a simply pointing to the Eucharist, especially when those who read the sage's description of her knew little of the Messiah and understood even less. It may offer us a clearer picture to see Woman Wisdom's table juxtaposed with that of the strange woman. Both are enthralling, but the strange woman's food draws us in and entraps us. We eat and eat until we have lost all sense of ourselves and who we were created to be. Whereas Woman Wisdom's fare brings delight and joy. It is a celebration of our connection to the one who created us all. She invites us to dance and sing praises to the Creator as she did when the world was first formed. As we stand in the middle of the street, deciding whether we will turn right or left, whether we will enter Woman Wisdom's domain or the strange woman's lair, the writer of Ephesians bids us once again to choose carefully. He says we must make the most of this moment, for the days are evil. We are living in perilous times. How did he know that? Well, when in human history have we not been living in perilous times? Honestly, we don't have to grasp at straws to perceive that. Notice what he says, though. Out of all the ways he could have described being wise and not foolish, the only tangible example he gives is not getting drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. We must be filled with the Spirit instead of strong drink. This is not a blanket statement in favor of temperance and prohibition. After all, the wise woman offers us good wine, and the strange woman offers us stolen water that she calls sweet. Who knows what's in that drink? It's more a plea to empty ourselves and the trivial desires of this world, which only bring ruin, and to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the things of God. This is exactly what Woman Wisdom's fare gives us. Access to connection with the divine. Then the author of Ephesians urges us to sing and make melody to the Lord in our hearts, giving thanks to the Father at all times and for everything in the name of Jesus Christ. At all times. See, where we choose to dine, it is a decision we must make over and over again. The strange woman is tricky. She disguises herself in all kinds of ways. She is loud and easily gains our attention despite our best efforts. We think of ourselves as walking along the road of life, having safely avoided her snare, only to be tempted by her once again. Yet if we take the time to pause, we will see that woman wisdom is calling out to us as well. Her voice is softer, gentler. She beckons for us to come to her table, to lay aside immaturity and live, and to walk in the way of insight. No matter what season of life we are in, may we always find ourselves seated at her table, delighting in our Creator and the wonders of his creation. May it be so. Amen. As we have heard the word of God read and proclaimed, please join me in our affirmation of faith. We believe there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to God's purpose. We are convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Let us pray together. God, we delight in you. As we gather in worship, we see glimpses of woman wisdom's table. We taste the wonders of your love for us, and we sense how much you revel in our discoveries. We are your children, and we are eager to please you. We dance and sing in your presence. Yet these days are indeed evil. Even as we dine and make merry, we sense the storm clouds on the horizon. The temperature drops and lightning flashes. The colors of the earth become dim under the weight of heavy rains, and the noise of thunder drowns out our song. The strange woman tempts us to leave woman wisdom's table and seek our own shelter, to find our own way home. We allow fear and sadness to cloud our joy. We look out our windows and see violence in the streets. We see children being born in war-torn regions. We see hunger and poverty, disease and despair, and we feel guilty for the feast we have enjoyed. We begin to wonder if you are as good as you say you are. If you were, wouldn't you calm the storm as you have done before? Wouldn't you feed the hungry and heal the broken and dying? Have you turned away from your creation, closed your doors to us? Just as we begin to despair, there is a break in the storm, and a single beam of light breaks through. We begin to see growth in the ashes and mud, a small act of kindness here, a helping hand there. Someone reaches out to offer a meal to a family on the side of the road. Another answers kindness with thank you and God bless you. We feel the pull in our hearts that it is we who are called to bring your light into the world. Yes, we have dined at the table of woman wisdom, but we must not keep the meal to ourselves. So as the storms roll on, we gather others into her shelter, inviting them to enter alongside us, to delight in our Creator, to be filled with the spirit of love and truth, and to pray joyfully with praise and thanksgiving the words that our Savior, Jesus Christ, taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." As we come to our time of offering, I invite you to give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Let us pray. Lord, what we have to offer was never ours to begin with. Everything we have, our time, our talents, our tithes, are gifts from you. Therefore, we give in gratitude of what we have received. Bless these gifts to the furthering of your kingdom here on earth, that others may come to know you through us. Amen. You may be seated. Before we hear God's charge and blessing on our lives, I hereby call our congregational meeting to order. Madam Clerk, do we have a quorum? Then I invite the ushers to come forward to pass out the ballots. Again, just like last week, if you are an active member, please raise your hand as the ushers pass by. These are not on pretty cardstock like last week, but they will bring you a ballot and then raise your hand when you finish and they will recollect them. Thank you. Now this week you'll see that there are two men's names and three women tied. And so if you will, please make one selection, one male, one female. So two selections total. I taught history and English, not math. And then once you've made your selections, you can just hold those up and the ushers will come back and collect them. Do we have all the ballots collected?
No, not yet.
Not yet, almost. Any other ballots out there? All right, then please stand with me. Let us pray. God, once again, we thank you for those who have been called to serve. Be present with this newly elected committee as they discern your will in the coming months. Bless them with wisdom as they select our next class of elders, and prepare the hearts of those whom you have already chosen to serve as the leaders of this congregation. Grant them wisdom. Grant them courage to lead us in being your hands and feet in the world. Amen. And now, friends, God has shown you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God? Therefore, go out into the world in peace. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. And know that the strong, sure love of God, the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the intimate, renewing presence of the Holy Spirit will be with you now and always. Amen.